Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. I'm here today with my guest, Dan Gower of Buddy Gardner Advertising, and today we are discussing how to hire and manage freelancers. Dan used to work as an IT business analyst and started taking some freelance writing jobs on the side to get a creative outlet and earn some extra money. He is now the owner of Buddy Gardner Advertising, which focuses on copywriting and digital marketing with an emphasis on social media, content-driven SEO, and compliant advertising. Thanks so much for joining us today, Dan.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. So let's dive into a couple of questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So tell us, where are you tuning in from today?
I'm located in St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay, great. And what would you say motivates or inspires you?
Oh, that's a great question. I think kind of our topic today motivates and inspires me a lot. Having been on both sides of the freelancer relationship, I just feel really strongly that it's important to, you know, try to foster these positive, productive relationships. And, you know, we spend so much of our time working, or at least I feel like I do. So
yeah,
the thing that kind of gets me going is, you know, trying to have fun with it and hopefully making sure that the people that I work with are having fun as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. So just really surrounding yourself with positive people that you're sort of on the same page with, the same work ethic, that kind of thing.
Definitely.
That's awesome. So yeah, do you want to sort of, so you talked to us a little bit about, or I know a bit of your backstory about how you got into digital marketing, but could you talk about how you decided to start your agency and what that story looked like?
Sure. So I kind of did backtrack a long way. I saw the Budweiser What's Up commercials when I was about 8 years old, and I thought it was like hilarious. I mean, I had no interest in beer, you know, but I used to walk around with like a What's Up hat from Budweiser.
Yes.
And I just kind of thought already that like advertising was the coolest thing in the world. Like how fun to make commercials, right?
That's so cool.
So kind of for years, I always knew that's what I wanted to do. And then out of college, I started working at this agency here in St. Louis that does a lot of like branding work, kind of brand compliance, setting brand guidelines, things like that. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of working on the account side at first, just because that's the job I could get. And some of it was like kind of helping the clients build their campaigns, but I always wanted to get into creative, and I kept asking to be put into the creative department and just saying like, trust me, I know I can do that.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out. But then I also at the same time became kind of like the Microsoft Excel guy in the office, and I would help everyone with their spreadsheets. So one day I was approached and asked if I wanted to become a business analyst instead. And it wasn't, I mean, I love all that stuff too. It wasn't the creative department like I was looking for, but I am a little bit of a spreadsheet nerd, so it seemed like a good fit for me.
Yeah.
And I loved that role. I really did. I had a great boss and I enjoyed the work, but I wasn't as passionate about it as I am about writing and the creative side. So started doing some of that on the side. And then I realized that I kind of wanted to make a career change and get into more of the creative side and the writing side full time. And I didn't want to feel like I was starting over by going and getting like an entry level copywriting job somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I just decided instead I would rather kind of take the risk of trying to do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that, you know, best case scenario, I would be, you know, not having to share any of the revenue that I generated with like another company. They'd be, you know, kind of dipping into whatever profits I could make. And then worst case scenario, I would learn some really painful lessons really fast, but then I would be able to go get a better job, you know, as maybe like a mid-level copywriter or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. Yeah. I love that I love that you, you know, weighed out the pros and cons and then just went for it. Cause yeah, it's scary starting out on your own for sure. But it's, you know, when you start to see it take off, it's so worth it.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, so how does your agency differentiate itself from your competitors or other agencies?
Sure. So one of the big things that I think I have going for myself is that my career path is a little bit unusual. So some people see that and they're just like, what are you doing, man? Like, pick a lane, you know? but other people see it sometimes, and I think that they kind of appreciate it. I think that they like see it and they kind of read that as just a general curiosity and like a willingness to learn new things. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing I have going for myself. And the other thing is, because of my diverse interests, I kind of have some areas of, if not expertise, kind of like more comfortability than a lot of other, you know, certainly like writers and a lot of creative people have, I think. So having worked at Ansira here in St. Louis, like I said, they're really into compliance. So I learned a lot about the automotive industry, which is what they do. Mm-hmm. But then kind of in more broad strokes, I learned how to craft messaging that follows strict regulations. So that also helped me fall into the cannabis industry, kind of, because it is, you know, they're pretty careful about what you can say and what you can't. And it's, that was a good opportunity for me, because obviously every time a new state legalizes medical or recreational cannabis, it like creates a vacuum where suddenly there are like hundreds of businesses opening up overnight, and none of the agencies in that state, or at least most of them, have never worked with that industry before because it wasn't legal there until just now.
Yeah.
So that's helped a lot. And then the last thing is I took a programming boot camp recently I'm horrible at it. But it helps me, you know, when I get a more technical client, like a tech company or a startup or something like that, it makes me at least be able to kind of fake my way through better than I would have. So I guess the short answer there would just be that I kind of found things I was interested in and that I thought I could do differently. And then I just, you know, really leaned into those to help myself stand out from a lot of other writers and creatives.
Yeah. Oh, that's really interesting. That's cool. So let's delve into our topic now and discuss how to hire and manage freelancers. So could you talk to us about why you decided to work with freelancers opposed to hiring staff within your agency?
Sure. I mean, two reasons, really. The good reason is just that having worked as a freelancer before, I am comfortable with it. And I think that, you know, there are always freelancers out there that are looking for work, and you know, I just kind of like working with them, and I appreciate the what a hustle that lifestyle is, and like how demanding it can be. And I like to work with that kind of person. Then the other part is just, you know, cost savings, honestly, which is why I think a lot of people go to freelancers. I mean, you can hire someone and you have to pay them a salary, and you have to pay their benefits and, you know, everything else. And then if you have a down week, which I haven't found out how to make an agency that stable yet. So for me, it's always like these huge ups and downs, like periods of feast and famine. And then, you know, when it rains, it pours, and then it's just dry for like a week or two. Mm-hmm. And when I have my busy weeks, I can go tap like three different freelancers if I want. And then when I have a dry week, I don't have to pay for to have someone sit around and wait with me.
You don't have that pressure of having to make payroll.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of nice. I mean, I think I end up, even if you end up having like, you know, paying almost as much as you would for a full-time employee, it's kind of nice that you can get it when you need it. So like, it's 1 week you can have two or three employees, and the next week you can handle everything yourself. And just, you know, you can kind of, it makes it a lot easier to manage the ebbs and flows.
Yeah. And from an admin standpoint, you know, you're not having to deal with the paperwork attached with like, you know, taking vacation time off and that sort of thing as well. So I imagine it saves a lot of your time too.
For sure.
So are there any cons to having a full team of freelancers?
Well, I think that the cons that I hear about a lot that working with freelancers is people say that, I mean, freelancers kind of have a reputation for being hard to pin down. And that is part of it. I mean, if you have a full-time employee, you can tell them, you know, I want you here at 8:30 or whatever. And, you know, that what your hours are and kind of things like that. And with a freelancer, you can tell them what you want them to do, but you can't really manage their time so much. Mm-hmm. And then also that makes it hard sometimes to create accountability. I feel like there some freelancers have a reputation for just kind of disappearing or for missing deadlines or, you know, because it's not their full-time job, it's easier for them to, if they get a better project, they can just walk away at any time and go do that.
Okay.
So I think those are the big things. And I think that I find that there are ways to kind of manage those disadvantages.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. Do you have any tips for recruiting talent when you're hiring freelancers?
Yeah, I'd say my big thing, and kind of just because of my own background, what I always look for is I try to find people who have done something else besides writing. Because I'm writing for the web. So, you know, blog posts and landing pages and things like that, I'm writing for like a pretty general audience, unless it's a super niche topic. And so it doesn't really need to be like beautiful prose. I mean, it certainly helps if it's engaging, but you know, I don't really need someone that has like a doctorate in English literature. I need someone that's a competent writer and can express things clearly, but also knows how to write about a broad range of topics, mm-hmm. or if the situation calls for it, you know, can be kind of an expert in a specific topic.
Okay. And then are there any other things that you look for up front in an ideal freelancer that you're looking to hire?
I think a good question to ask is how do you balance kind of like competing demands, or I'm not really phrasing that well, but what do you do if you start getting so many deadlines that it's going to be challenging or even impossible to hit them all? You know, what do you do? I think that's a good question to ask, because that situation is definitely going to come up.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Are there any red flags that you've learned to identify?
I would say asking for samples is a big thing. I mean, sometimes you really can't share samples, but I've had people tell me before they couldn't share any of their writing samples, and that seems a little bit suspicious to me.
Like, yeah.
You know, or if someone sends me a sample and I can find like the first Google result for that title or for the keyword is an article that's just like the article they sent me, and it's not the same one, like it's not like this is their article and that's where it got published, but it's just something where it's like, you know, almost verbatim, that's a huge red flag. I definitely try to like cross-reference samples against like the first 3 to 5 hits on Google.
Yeah, that's smart. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay. And then do you have any kind of a screening process that you use when you hire a new freelancer?
I don't really get too into it, honestly. Other than what I just discussed, I don't spend a lot of time. Instead, I kind of try to get people on board. And someone that I worked for before actually said that his strategy was hire slow and fire fast. Mm-hmm. Which is, I think, you know, it sounds kind of brutal to say that, but that's just kind of a reality of once you start working with people. And so what I normally try to do is I get people in the door, and because I don't like giving people like test assignments or things like that. I want to mm-hmm. work with people who are good at what they do. And if they're good at what they do, they don't want to do it for me for free.
So instead, sense.
I just get them in and I give them a couple of small assignments, and just see how they do. And, you know, if I normally, if it doesn't work out, then I just don't really send them a lot more work. And I try to make that decision quickly because that's good for me, because then I'm not wasting money paying someone that's kind of ineffective. And it's honestly, it's good for them too. I mean, well, not as good as like having steady work, but if I can't give them that because it's not working out, then I think the best thing you can do really is kind of make that call sooner rather than later, because then they haven't really factored that into their income and they haven't like dumped other clients to make room for this workload and things like that.
Okay, interesting. And then, so do you have any other tips or lessons that you've learned from working with a team of freelancers?
Yeah, totally. So one thing I always like to say is I feel like people sometimes they look for tips about how to manage freelancers in the same way that I like Google how to get in really good shape. And then if I Google how to get in really good shape and the article is like, well, you know, eat vegetables and go for a run, I'm like, well, not that though. I mean, like I'm looking for something like an easy magic trick, you know?
Yeah.
But it's not, there's not an easy trick. It's just like, you have to do the thing that everyone knows works. So with the case of freelancers, I mean, anyone who's ever worked for anyone before, whether as a freelancer or a full-time employee or whatever, I mean, you know, what's going to make you work hard and stick around. It's people that are gonna, you know, treat you with respect. It's people that are going to pay you what you're worth. And I think that's the big thing. So I normally do try to hire people at a relatively low rate, just because that's how I kind of vet them, is by bringing them on and letting them do some work. Yep. But as soon as I realize that I have someone that's awesome, I am, you know, trying to like pay them extra, like a bonus on the first piece. I'm trying to raise their rate right away, because, you know, if you have someone that's smart and good at their job, then they're also smart enough to realize kind of what they're worth sooner or later.
Yeah.
And you can try to trick them and squeeze work out of them on the cheap, but in the long run, they're just going to leave and they're going to go find someone that pays them what they're worth. So yeah, if you want to lock them down, that's really my answer for freelancers. And it helps because I have been a freelancer before. And so having been on that side of this exact relationship, I worked with some awesome clients and I worked with some awful clients, and mm-hmm. I got to see, you know, how they treated me and how that made me feel and how that made me perform. And now I can apply that in my own, on the other side of the relationship.
Okay. So basically just, you know, treating them with respect, having that really positive working relationship, and then paying them what they're worth so that they've got that loyalty.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, anytime that you can find an opportunity to, that you've got a really good freelancer, I highly recommend like trying to find ways to pay them more sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. And I know that's counterintuitive because it's, you know, raising your costs, but it's nothing compared to the cost of having to go find more people and, or like work with people who aren't very effective.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that. It's really good common sense advice, I think. And so where do you find the freelancers that you hire?
I'm a huge LinkedIn fiend.
Oh, like, interesting.
I don't know why. I do know why, kind of. So even when I was first working at that agency, I was there for like 6 years, and probably like 2 years in was when I first started kind of having the really early thoughts of like, you know, I'm learning about an interesting niche here. I bet I could go start my own thing someday and kind mm-hmm. of use some of this. And so I just, you know, I was like working with a lot of car dealerships at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I just started getting on LinkedIn and like just honestly probably not best practices, because I was like sending out so many invitations to people that I didn't even really know or like had talked to once.
Yeah.
But it did help me get a huge network, and now I just feel like I'm connected to a lot of people who are in the kind of agency world as well. Mm-hmm. And it helps that I've been doing this. I mean, I've been working in advertising for close to 10 years now, so it just helps that I've met a lot of people. And also when I'm like that guy that at a bar is telling like 9 out of 10 people like, oh, you'd be a really good writer, you know? or like, yeah, you could totally do this. Like, you're so good at explaining that, you could totally do what I do. And so sometimes, like, there's this guy I'm working with now, recently, I don't even know what he does, for his day job, but he's not even in advertising, but I just knew that, like, he was an English major or a history major, like some kind of like writing intensive field that he studied in college. And he knows about kind of like business. And then he's really interested in kind of like a broad range of things and like some technical topics. Like, he knows, I know about automotive advertising, but like, this guy could probably like fix his own car, you know? And like, yeah, he knows he could probably like build his own computer, and he knows about this technical stuff. And I know he's a good writer. And so I asked him one day, like, hey, do you want to make some extra money? Can I start sending you assignments? And he had never done it before. And like, his first article was awesome, and he's only gotten better.
That's
so
cool.
I think, and again, I'm like kind of biased by my own experience being kind of weird, but I'm a huge proponent of finding people who, because everyone is a writer now to some degree. I mean, we all post on social media and we all write emails and things like that.
Photographers and writers.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you don't have to be like a writing major or something like that to be good at this. And sometimes it's even helpful if you have studied other things or worked in other fields. So mm-hmm. I'm a huge proponent of like finding people who either are just really intellectually curious and interested in everything, or mm-hmm. if they are kind of like experts in the one field that you work in, and then just kind of like hitting those people up and saying like, you know, hey, how'd you like to make $100? Like, why don't you come, you know, write this article for me? Or if I know someone, I know, you know, a lot of graphic designers, if I ever need something like that, a lot of people that are creative directors and those kinds of roles, a lot of them are open to freelance work. So I find that if you just reach out to someone, if you identify someone that you want to work with, whether it be from LinkedIn or wherever else, and you reach out to them and you say, do you want money? A lot of times the answer is going to be yes.
It's a good motivator.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. So you just keep a very open mind. You're always sort of on the lookout for people that could potentially work for you, and just sort of putting yourself out there, striking up lots of conversations, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And I mean, LinkedIn is great for that too. The way I used it wasn't perfect, but even if you don't already have a huge network of people, I always say the problem with LinkedIn is it's a bunch of sellers and no buyers, you know, like everyone's always hitting your inbox, asking you to like invest money with them or whatever it is they want. And mm-hmm. no one is on there hitting you up being like, hey, can I, you know, like, Julia, will you tell me more about your agency? I would love if you would build my website or, you know, whatever it is.
Yes.
So given that everyone is out there trying to sell something, most people are just trying to sell themselves. Either they're trying to find work.
Yeah.
And so if you connect with people that are in the right fields or have the right experience on LinkedIn, there's a good chance they're on there in the first place because they're looking for some sort of employment. And it might not be freelancing, but it kind of just goes back to that thing where, like, if you treat your people right and if you make sure that you're taking care of them, then they will want to work for you.
Yeah, I love that. Where do you see Buddy Gardner Advertising in 5 years' time?
That's a great question. I think that kind of staying the course, honestly. I mean, I'm really going to struggle with that one because it's something that I do think about. But I just don't really know what I want from it yet. I'm so happy where I am.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think about kind of using what I've learned in the last few years to go work for someone else again and kind of just like leverage this experience to go get a job at a bigger agency or in-house somewhere. Sometimes I think about how I would love to, you know, hire full-time employees and have an office. Mm-hmm. And other times I think, you know, this is a pretty sweet gig the way it is. I can never really get fully unplugged because I'm the only full-time employee. So I'm always kind of like accountable and making sure that work's getting done, but I can,
yeah,
you know, travel whenever I want. If I ever want to, you know, just get up and go sneak away and play nine holes of golf in the middle of the day, I can do that, you know? Yeah. So I certainly, you know, do have some ambitions, but, I'm also pretty content with my current lot in life. I think, as I've gone on the last year or two, I had some growth opportunities, but I'm less interested in growing and more interested in making sure that I'm working with the right people, on the kind of work that's really interesting to me. Yeah. And in a way that is helping me grow more, because then instead of just funneling all the business I can into the door, I'm taking things that are really the perfect fit, which allows me to maybe charge a little bit more, mm-hmm. and I'm not commoditizing myself.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like a synergistic, cyclical thing, because since I'm taking things that I'm really well suited for, I can charge more, and then mm-hmm. I can pay my freelancers more, and then I get really great freelancers to work for me, and then I produce really good work, and then I can get the really good jobs, and it just kind of like spirals.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes so much sense to niche down, and then you can do the work faster because you know the industry inside and out. So yeah, you're just that much more efficient.
For sure.
We are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first I have the fast five, which are five rapid fire questions. So to start, what is a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Professionally, I would say, Hey Whipple, Squeeze This is a good book about copywriting, just because it really teaches you to value simplicity and kind of like, it's kind of going back to that thing that I say about like stripping your ego out of it, and you're not writing to impress like the professors, you're writing to just speak to the target audience. So that was one. And then kind of personally, anything that Kurt Vonnegut wrote, I'm a huge fan of.
Okay. And what does your morning routine look like?
Recently I got into the habit of walking my dog early in the morning as like a good way just to kind of like get the blood pumping and, you know, like get outside and stretch the legs and wake up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that actually, in a way, it kind of backfired or worked out great, depending on how you look at it. But now she picked it up within like a week. And so now as soon as I roll over and open my eyes, she's like jumping on me, getting all excited because she knows we're about to go.
Nice.
So it is annoying some days for sure, but it's also great because now she will like drag me out of bed on the days that I don't want to get it up.
Yeah. I think personally getting outdoors and getting exercise first thing in the morning sets a great tone for the day. So I think that's a great habit. Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Oh, that's a great question. There are definitely people that I draw inspiration from, but I am kind of drawing a blank right now. Branson from Virgin Mobile.
Richard Branson, yes.
Yeah. He has a quote that I love and has really shaped the way that I think about freelancers. He said, everyone always says that the customer comes first. I'm going to kind of butcher this, but you'll get the point.
Yeah.
People say that the customer comes first, but that's not true. The employee comes first. Mm-hmm. Because if you put your employees first and you take great care of them, they will take great care of the customers.
Yes. I think that, yeah, there's so much truth in that. I love that. And what is your favorite online tool?
This is such a basic answer, but Google Drive. It's awesome. I mean, yeah. I do have a subscription to Microsoft 365, but I don't really need it. I mean, some clients want things in Word or whatever. They want to communicate in Teams, I guess. Mm-hmm. But like Google Drive, even if you pay for the extra storage and all of that, it's like super cheap. It's super effective. It's really easy to collaborate. You know, version management is awesome in there. It's, you can like set permissions. It's just like such a great tool. And I feel like everyone knows about it, but it always amazes me how many like agencies and companies will use these expensive, complicated project management tools mm-hmm. when you could easily just do everything in a well-organized Google Drive.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if you use Gmail and yeah, the whole Google suite, it's so convenient. Yeah, that's what we use. And it's a huge time savings. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Say no to business.
Okay.
My dad told me, my dad is definitely someone that I look to for business advice. And he told me that the work that you don't accept will define you as much as the work that you do accept. And I figured he probably was giving me good advice because he normally does, but I didn't follow it anyway, really, because it's just so hard when you're starting out and you're, you know, freaking out all the time and you don't know, you kind of have imposter syndrome and you don't know if this was really a good idea or if you're good enough, you're worried about money. And then someone comes to you and they say, you know, hey, here's this project that I will give you. And this, you see it as it's an opportunity to get paid and it gives you like a little bit longer runway and it keeps the lights on. Mm-hmm. And I ended up doing social media for some clients and I hate it so much. I mean, I'm fine with writing social media calendars and stuff, but like I was doing social media management and I was just having to log into Facebook all the time and Instagram and stuff and getting distracted from work. And some people can handle that and they like it. And I don't have anything against social media management, but I just personally don't like doing it. And I kind of realized that, you know, the small amount that I was making from that was taking away from my ability to go do the things that I'm actually good at and that I enjoy more, like building websites and doing SEO.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great advice. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Dan. It's been really great chatting with you.
Likewise. Thanks.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.